You're listening to The Takeaway.
Health industry groups are expected to deliver.
If you like the plan you have, you can keep it.
To take over the healthcare system, either directly or indirectly, for the government to control it.
A lot of my friends, where they get their healthcare from is the emergency room. They're in the emergency room every week. They break a nail in the emergency room.
How are you going to avoid not having the ability to cost shift as you shrink that portion of privately funded health insurance?
We've been talking about health care all week. I'm Catherine Lanfer in for John Hockenberry, who's away. Now, with all the debate on health care reform, you'd think that one thing wouldn't prompt much argument. Prevention. I mean, you treat people before they get sick. You're going to save money in the long term, right? Not so fast. We're going to look at this healthy debate over prevention with our own Washington correspondent, Todd Zwillick. All right, Todd, let's start by talking about what Congress is trying to do with prevention.
Hi, Catherine. Good morning. Well, you know, with all of the contentious debate going on in Congress right now on health reform, Republicans, Democrats actually agree on one major thing, and you mentioned it, it's prevention. They want to do more to encourage prevention, wellness programs, and keeping people healthier longer. And the idea there is that by investing more money up front, you can keep medical costs lower for longer and hopefully save everybody money. Now, yesterday I sat down with Senator Tom Harkin from Iowa. He's on the Health Committee, and he's the author of a whole section of the bill that's under debate right now that focuses on prevention and wellness. Here's a quick excerpt of what Harkin says he's trying to do.
In the clinical settings, in communities, in workplace, in schools, to try to move us from a sick care society to a health care society. Right now, I keep saying, you know, we are sick care society. If you get sick, you get care, but there's very little in there for prevention and keeping you healthy in the first place. And that's what I'm attempting to do.
All right. You'd think there wouldn't be much debate about prevention. And here's the one thing we know there's not debate about. We need to save money. This bill is estimated to cost something like, what, $1 trillion or more over 10 years?
Right. And cost savings is really what they need, especially after the sticker shock of this bill is sinking in Congress. And there are going to be other ways to raise money. But you're right, Catherine. There's a debate right now about how about prevention and cost savings and whether prevention really works. And not all prevention is the same. And while preventing disease is always the right thing to do because it's just the right thing to do, you don't get sick, it's not always the cost-effective thing to do, and that's a big debate right now. And the interesting thing is there's a debate on that in the scientific community,
really?
And in the economics community, but there's also a debate right in the health committee. It's like a microcosm of what's going on out there. We've been talking a little bit this week about the CBO, the Congressional Budget Office. They're the mm-hmm. scorekeepers in Congress. They tell you whether a bill's going to cost money or save money, any bill. Well, the CBO won't give Harkin any cost savings on his prevention. And we all say, well, wait a second. Prevention
right.
saves money. What's wrong with the CBO? Well, CBO won't tell Harkin that his prevention saves anything. And it's not because prevention will save nothing. They don't know that. It's because the number crunchers have no way of accurately calculating it. So here's the committee dealing with prevention, but they don't get any benefit on that $1 trillion price tag. And it's a frustration for Harkin. Listen to this.
Okay.
One part of this bill now is our menu labeling bill, that from now on, all chain fast food places like McDonald's and all these other, if they have 20 or more restaurants, they have to post on their menu board and in their menus the calories for every single serving. And they have to have available, if you ask for it, in printed form, the amount of fat, trans fat, sodium, and sugar.
It's the right thing to do, but how do you score that to say it'll save money?
Well, that's the problem with CBO. They don't know how to score this, but they know it will save money because it's going to save people from going down and getting high blood pressure pills and having to do some kind of modality that costs more money later on.
So what are we supposed to do if we can't do that? We're supposed to just get everyone on drugs somehow?
Well, Harkin says no. He says exactly the opposite. Not get everyone on drugs. Do the things earlier than that. Lower salt, lower bad food, lower smoking, so that they don't have to get on the drugs in the first place. Listen to this.
Are we going to achieve it overnight? I'm realistic enough to know that we won't achieve it overnight. But I do believe within a 10-year time frame, we can make a huge difference in this country in keeping people healthy and keeping them off of drugs, keeping them out of the hospital.
All right. Todd, I want to thank you for these reports.
Pleasure.
Todd Zwillick, he's our Washington correspondent for The Takeaway. We're going to move now to Professor Louise Russell. She's a research professor at the Institute for Health at Rutgers University. Okay, we were talking about prevention. Maybe before we go any further, we should talk about exactly what we mean when we talk about preventative care.
Good morning. Public health experts like to divide preventive care into three types. Primary care is the kind that prevents the disease entirely, and vaccines are a classic example of that. Secondary care is the type that addresses a risk factor for disease. Blood pressure, elevated blood pressure is a risk factor for disease. Elevated cholesterol is a risk factor for disease. Or it catches a disease early. Cancer screening is a good example when it's expected to be more treatable. And then there's a third category, which is really very hard to tell from treatment, and so most people don't focus their attention on that, is that that is once you have the disease, managing it in a way that prevents the worst effects of it for as long as possible.
It's hard to get your head around the fact that preventative care can't necessarily be scored, that we can't necessarily prove that it saves money.
We actually have a lot of evidence on whether it saves money. We've had studies accumulating over the last 40 years. By now, there's hundreds, probably thousands of studies that have looked at the medical costs of prevention and compared them with the medical savings.
And
they usually show that prevention costs more than it saves.
How are we calculating what the cost and benefit is, though? Like, if more people don't die, isn't that a plus?
The question here is it going to save money?
All right.
So we have to look at medical costs. And what these studies, they look at a lot. They're not just looking at medical costs, and that's one of the reasons that people are not aware that they address this issue as well. They're called cost-effectiveness studies, and they're there to look at what do we get from this intervention in terms of health, and what is it going to cost us? On the cost side, they say, okay, what will it cost us to do the prevention for the rest of people's lives, whatever that involves, a vaccine, medication for blood pressure, whatever it involves, exercise programs for diabetes, and how does that compare with what would happen if we didn't use this preventive intervention?
Mm-hmm.
That's what they do, and they follow that out over the full lives of the people involved. And more than 80% of the time, it turns out that prevention costs more than it saves. The New England Journal of Medicine ran an article last year in which researchers looked at hundreds of studies that had been published just between 2000 and 2005. And they found that more than 80% of the time, the preventive intervention cost more than it saved.
How much of this is that we're going around about prevention the wrong way?
I think not very much. It's just that when prevention treats people at risk. We don't know that these people are going to get sick. Not everyone does. And it has to start treating people long before they would get the disease in most cases. And the result is that there are a lot of small expenses. They don't look big if you look at them per person or per year. But if you add them up over all the people and over all the years, it turns out they are big. And they're usually bigger than the savings. But there are treatment savings. They're just not as big as the cost of the preventive intervention.
You say that there are savings. Talk about what kind of reforms you'd like to see in this area.
Well, preventive interventions vary a lot in how much health you get for the extra money you spend. Some very good bargains, they cost maybe a few thousand dollars for every year of life they save. Occasionally, in some groups, they can even save money, what we all hope for. Some examples of that are flu shots for the elderly, pneumococcal pneumonia vaccinations for people with chronic disease or for the elderly, smoking cessation programs. All of those are excellent bargains. Childhood vaccinations, most of those are excellent bargains. We also do some things that are extremely expensive, and yet you don't realize it. Statins for people whose only risk factor for heart disease is elevated cholesterol can cost in the hundreds of thousands of dollars for every year of life they save.
It sounds like what you're saying, and we have to wrap up here, is that it's not that prevention doesn't help save lives, but that maybe we need to think about what is most cost-effective and is most effective, period.
That's absolutely right. Much of this prevention does save lives, and that's our purpose here, to save lives. But we need to be spending our money as effectively as possible, and that means we need to look at each preventive intervention and say, okay, it's usually going to cost us more. If we're going to spend more, what's the most important thing to do for people's health?
All right. Professor Russell, I want to thank you for joining us.
Thank you.